Hello, everybody. I know we have a small crowd. Hopefully the crowd will grow a little bit over the next couple minutes as people are walking by and hear us speaking. My name is Todd Sweetser. I'm with Microsoft. I am actually speaking on behalf of the Office team here today, and I'd like to introduce a customer who has gone through some big changes in their environment. It's Royal DSM. Royal DSM is a health sciences or sciences company who works in health and in some area and some other areas, and they've taken a lot of changes and gone through a lot of changes within their workspace environments, moving from workplaces to workspaces. And we've got a couple folks here from DSM. We've got Helmut and we've got Frank, who are going to go through their case study and discuss the different challenges, the different things they went through, their different environments, how Office integrates in with it, as well as SCCM and some of the other Microsoft solutions. So with that, I think I'll hand it over to Helmut.
Thank you, Todd.
Okay. Before I go into the workplace journey that we've been through, this is actually a transformation that we've been through, I first want to explain something about DSM. DSM is a company that stands for the Dutch State Mines, and we are a company that's more than 100 years old, and I've been through quite a few transformations as well, especially since the last two decades, actually. So if you look at what DSM is, our mission statement, we have two business lines, life sciences and material sciences. We are active in health, nutrition, and in material sciences. So for example, we make food ingredients, like vitamins, for both human and animals. And we make high-performance materials like very strong fibers. We have the strongest fiber in the world. That's from Dyneema, a business group from DSM. And with these two business lines, we think we have a unique proposition to the world to improve the lives of people and also animals for now and then the generations to come. Okay, some facts at a glance. We have net sales of around 10 billion per year. We have a global presence. We have around 25,000 people. That is going up and down because we do a lot of acquisitions and also divestments, but 25,000 last year. We are listed on the New York Stock Exchange. We also listed on the Euronext Stock Exchange, and we are a sustainability leader of the sustainability index already for years, also last year. So we're proud of that. Okay, this is the presence of DSM. So you can see that we are in almost all continents. We originated from Europe, but nowadays we are also present in every continent of the world, especially now investing in Latin America and Americas and also Asia Pacific and China. So it's more or less getting to equally divided across the continents. Okay. So now let's go tell you something about the journey that we actually been through. So this is about a transformation program that we started some years ago, 3 years ago. We got this assignment from our management to really come up with a new workplace concept. We had a concept, of course, that was, we had a lot of, well, let's say, negative feedback from our own business, like stability was not good enough, it was too expensive, etc. So we took that assignment and started with that. But before I explain the approach, I first want to explain our overall strategy that we have already for years. We started that strategy in 2008, and that's what we call internet-centric. So that's not only for the workplace itself, but it's also for, in general, IT within DSM. So it's very high level, it's a helicopter view, so to say. As every normal company, like also DSM has a legacy application landscape, still have, and we're still working on it to transform that. And what you see is that we have web applications and legacy applications, legacy web applications that sit behind the firewall. And the objective here is to move that to an internet-centric world. That means a cloud concept can be private, can be public, preferably public, by the way. But the thing is that the applications should be internet-facing. They should be reachable directly from the internet. And that doesn't matter if it's now a business partner of DSM or DSM employees themselves. It should be the same way of accessing applications. And that's also the strategy that fits DSM because we are quite an open company. We collaborate a lot with, for example, universities. We do a lot of research and development. So for that, we need a more like open infrastructure open access to applications. So this is really high level across all IT services, not only the workplace. So now let's go deeper into the workplace journey that we've been through. We started that journey, already told you, 3 years ago, and we could have done this journey like a traditional approach. It's, by the way, also a outsourcing journey for us. And you could, for example, write a very big document with all kinds of detailed requirements, and we have chosen not to do so. So what we did is we started these so-called front-end loading workshops with the main stakeholders, business stakeholders, also IT stakeholders like the CIO, and got them in a room and defined them. They should define, the business should define, what are now your main requirements. And at the end, that was translated into these seven principles, so to say. And we used those principles throughout the whole project. So including the RFP, the collaborative RFP that we did with our suppliers, until the end, we used these seven principles. Okay? So we let them tell, what is your standard solution? Because we don't want a custom DSM solution. That's basically the whole objective of the whole transformation program. We want standardized services. The project, by the way, the program was called Vanilla, like Vanilla Services, out of the box, standard. So if you look at the seven principles, we have, of course, the first one is an important one. We had a too expensive workplace. We had to bring down the cost below the benchmark, basically. So that was an important one. It should be carefree. So it should be at least predictable for the user. So we don't want every time changing behavior of the workplace, depending on the location where you are in the world, it should be the same everywhere. Okay? Then the third one is, of course, internet-centric. That's already explained. The fourth one is around the integration of and collaboration of, basically the integration of processes. And like any other company, we have a lot of platforms, also within the workplace services. And with that, you have all kinds of integration challenges, so to say. So what we are trying to achieve here is, what we believe in at least, is when you standardize on one platform as much as possible, then you don't have those integration challenges. So that's the fourth one. The fifth one is we strive for self-service, so basically empower the user. That's something that we really want to enforce to our users more and more. So that's, we will start with that. We already started that, but that will become more and more. The sixth one is we strive for on-demand services, so scale up, scale down, like a cloud service, should be also the case for workplace services. To be honest, workplace services are quite commodity, so this is not something special. You should be able to easily scale it up and scale it down, especially with divestments and acquisitions. And the seventh one is we base our workplace services on consumerized services. That means people are used to using their own services like they use it at home. So you probably recognize, hey, why don't we have the latest Office version or the latest operating system, etc.? We have it at home, so, and it works. So that's also an important principle for DSM, for our workplace services, to have that also built in. Okay, with that, I want to hand over to my colleague, Frank van Rijt.
Hi. I would like to tell something more about the evergreen principle that we use for our applications. And that is really the biggest change that we went through. Because when we started, we had a very legacy, as we call it, legacy workplace. It was running on Windows 7. But we had a lot of outdated components on that. We had a lot of outdated components on that workplace because of the legacy applications that we have. So there were applications that required all the versions of Internet Explorer that to work. We had legacy Java versions that were needed, and we had a lot of horizontal dependencies with applications. So during our journey, we moved towards a new. Actually, we didn't really upgrade from Windows 7 to Windows 10, but we chosen deliberately to go to Windows 7 again, because that was for the compatibility of all the stuff we got much easier. And also Windows 10 wasn't available yet when we started the project last year. So when we started, we made everything as simple as possible and to the latest state that was then available. So we moved to the latest version of Office that was then available. We also moved from Office 2010 to Office 2013 Pro Plus. We used the newest version of Internet Explorer, Chrome, Flash, Java, and we enabled as much as possible for all these applications auto-updates. So for example, for Office, we now get monthly from the Pro Plus, we get the latest versions installed. Also, we said that all applications should be able to work with the standard workplace. So we will not make any consequences for those applications to run on for very customizations. And we also would like to have only vertical application dependencies. So that brought us to the rules that we have now for all applications and the workplace itself. So major versions we will for the workplace we will communicate upfront. So when we move from Windows 7 to Windows 10, that will be of course communicated well upfront. But minor versions like the monthly updates of Office or the updates of Internet Explorer or Flash or Java, we will just process them. And the application owners, they should follow the roadmap and also be sure that their applications run on those versions. And we had a lot of applications that were either stopped, we do no longer support them, or we do a certain remediation for them, that we deliver them via Citrix. But we will no longer allow that applications require special updates on our workplace. And as such, also, we eliminated the cross-application compatibility issues. So how did this project look from a timing point of view? So we started in 2015 with having the white lines. So we had Office 2010, we had Windows 7, which is all domain joined. We had an old version of System Center. We have McAfee for antivirus. We used Juniper for dialing in with VPN. We have a Link 2010 on-premise environment. We have shared data on file servers, personal data, the home drives also on file servers. We use McAfee EMM and ActiveSync for managing mobile devices. We use the ADFS version 2, SafeNet, and Okta for cloud-enabled application to do single sign-on and SAML-out authentication. And we already had deployed Office 365 for Exchange Online and SharePoint Online. So our on-premise SharePoint environment and Exchange environment were already migrated into the cloud in 2012. So during our project, we migrated to Office 2013 Pro Plus, the click-to-run version. We still have a Windows 7 domain joined environment. We upgraded the SCCM environment to the latest version and included a 1E Nomad solution to that, to have a fan-out deployment of applications in the branches. We moved from McAfee disk encryption to the standard BitLocker. McAfee is still being used for virus protection. We moved over from Juniper VPN to Direct Access, which is highly appreciated by our users, because now when they open up their laptop, it is immediately connected to the business and they can connect to their applications which are still on the DSM parameter. Link is still on-premise 2010, but we have currently an RFP running to move also that into the cloud and looking into a cloud PBX environment. SharePoint, as said, we already are really using it, but we have a lot of file shares for group data, and we are currently migrating all those file shares as much as possible into SharePoint team sites and document libraries. And one of the other big things that we did during the migration is that all home drives were migrated into OneDrive for Business. So, and I will show that also on the next slide. We had a tremendous use of OneDrive for Business, and that's also perceived very well by our end users, how it works. And our next project that's currently running is that we will introduce the Enterprise Mobility Suite, also EMS called by Microsoft, where we can do conditional access on mobile devices, and also bring your own devices can then be used directly with all the Office 365 applications, but also the applications that are connected to our single sign-on solution, which makes use of Okta and SafeNet. For that, we also need to upgrade to the latest version of ADFS, Azure AD, and MFA. And then we have the whole Office 365 suite enabled for all our users within DSM. Some facts and figures what we currently are doing with the products of Microsoft. We have about 19,000 active E3 subscriptions, And we have about 3,500 active K1 kiosk subscriptions, which we mainly use for our blue-collar workers. Our mail volume is about 5.5 million emails per month. As you can see, our OneDrive migration was pretty successful. We have currently 73 terabyte data uploaded into OneDrive for Business. You can see here the graph. That's really a steep graph. How the usage of OneDrive is going on within DSM. We have about 9,000 link conferences, 650,000 peer-to-peer sessions with link. Something about the devices that we're using. We have about 17,000 managed laptops and desktops, which are fully closed down. We have a fully closed down concept at this moment. So only users have user privileges on the machines. And we have about 6,000 active mobile devices, which we are making use of ActiveSync mainly. And the majority of those are Apple devices. We have around 700 packaged business applications, where at the beginning of the project we had 2,000 of these applications. So we reduced enormously the amount of very specific business applications. At this moment we have about 40 SaaS applications, which are integrated with single sign-on into Okta, next to all the applications that we have also running in Office 365. We have about 1,300 SharePoint team sites, and around 100 terabyte shared data on branch file services. And what I was explaining, the last one, that's what we would like to migrate into SharePoint as well. So, and that brings me to the end of this session. And we have some questions for Todd to ask us, and let's see if we can answer them.
Let's see. Thank you, Frank. I mean, it is pretty amazing if you look at what their organization has done in a relatively short period of time. Over a period of a couple of years, they have really accepted the cloud, moved into the cloud, gotten a lot of their users engaged, and continue to take advantage of more of the Microsoft services, as well as complementary services from third parties as needed. With that, I mean, looking back over the last couple of years, as this has come to being, what were some of the biggest challenges maybe you ran into?
Yeah, the biggest challenges. Well, first of all, like said, we are more or less trying to standardize on services, on workplace services, and that really has effect on the applications, yeah? Because we are changing the workplace. But if our applications are not really up to speed, then you have an issue. The whole evergreen concept of just upgrading the browser and upgrading the operating system, if the applications cannot handle that, then you will have issues. So that is the biggest challenge that we have, to enforce that that standardization. So how did we mitigate that? Well, basically by those seven principles. We've basically, the business itself defined our own requirements, so, and they signed them off. So, and that should be done on the highest level in the organization. It should be supported by the managing board, basically. And that's the only way to do it. It's really strong governance. If you don't have the governance, you can forget it. Because if the first upgrade takes place and someone shouts, hey, my application stops working, and you don't have the governance in place, then it will not work. So that is one of the biggest one, I think. And yeah, just to pick a few, here are some on the list. But still, we have some challenges in Office 365. We have a global deployment. That means all mail, all SharePoint is in Office 365, and it's one tenant from Dublin, Amsterdam, and especially in China is always a challenge looking at performance. So we are in the middle of transforming that also, looking from a network perspective. We are going to route all traffic back to our internal network, on our MPLS network, and then hover onto the internet somewhere outside China mainland, because you have a lot of things that restrict the performance, or restrict the internet traffic there.
Great, great. So that sounds like that's one of the challenges you even have moving forward, continuing on. What are some maybe other challenges that you're having that you foresee in the future as you proceed to go down this path?
Yeah, we are now looking really into the into enabling bring your own devices and mobile devices, and we see that we still would like as DSM to control the data on those devices, and there we see the biggest challenge, because we see the Microsoft applications are getting enabled for that, But we also have other applications like SAP, CRM is also a good example of that with Microsoft, that are not really fully enriched on managing the DSM content on personal or private devices. And that's what we really would like to improve or seeing improved, and that we also have one way of authenticating against those applications, because also that is a very scattered landscape. And I think we will have quite some struggles there in getting that standardized as well. But yeah, it also depends on what our suppliers do in that area.
Yeah, well, it's definitely we have some challenges, but considering what you guys have been through, I definitely see some successful engagements post that. So going forward, what is maybe just some high-level advice that you would want to give to the folks that are here in respect to going forward with something, a solution like this?
Yeah. Well, the things that we did this project, this transformation project, actually in 1 or 2 years. Of course, the whole front-end loading workshop and defining the principles, etc., down-select the supplier, that was the year before, but actually starting the transformation, we did struggle a lot with how to move the user data from the on-premise file servers to the cloud, including PST files, by the way. And we thought at first, hey, we should do that for the user. We should more or less, the user should not bother about that, but that was a mistake. What you should do is you should more or less enable the user to migrate the data themselves, because the user at the end is the only one who knows what data is important to migrate and what not. IT should just make it possible, and that's it. So don't create complex migration scripts, etc. Do stuff for users. No, just start in time. Tell the user you have to migrate your data before X months, whatever that may be, and that's it. And then maybe 1 month or 2 months before, remember them. Okay, you have to migrate your data, or else it will be blocked or will be gone or something else. That's the way to do it. So don't interfere too much as IT.
Great. So basically enabling the users to do it themselves as much of the process as possible, having the confidence in them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of to the end of the discussion today. Is there any questions from anybody here today? Anybody have any questions they'd like to ask? The questions, are you manufacturing?
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. That's a good question. Yeah, we have two environments. We have what we call a first-party environment and a second-party environment. And the second-party environment is the factory, the plants, and that's really split. So we're talking about office automation here with first-party, and already there we have applications that also interface with the second-party sometimes. But the real second-party is really divided, split, and that's a different part of our IT organization. Yeah, they do specialized systems for plants. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, give him a can there.
Yeah, but for the second, so those applications in the second party environment, as we call it, we also have this Citrix solution that you can still reach them easily from your office workplace or your web browser, and that is also really really moving up. So also those business applications, although they might be really legacy, you can still use them. From your native client, either at home or at the office.
But how will you get rid of those legacy?
For every new application, that has to go to the architecture board for approval. And if it doesn't fit the internet-centric principles, as was introduced by Helmut, we will give a denial on those applications. It's always a struggle with the business because some applications are really specific. But at the end, I think we managed quite well on that. Especially the bigger applications, there's no debate about that one. These were all moved into what we call internet-centric applications.
Great, thank you very much. I think we've reached the end of our time allotment here. We appreciate everybody's attendance and their attention. Hopefully this information was helpful. Thanks to Frank. Thanks to Helmut from DSM. And I hope you guys have a great rest of Ignite. Thanks again.